you say life's taking you nowhere. Sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
David Bowie, dead at the age of 69 today. We'll hear more about that in the upcoming Top 5 at 5, because, you know, it is 5 o'clock, and that tells us only one most important thing, which means...
It's time.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
This is the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
There you go. Checking in at
number 5.
White House is tight-lipped about a CNN report saying they've interviewed an American man being detained in North Korea on spy charges. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest updated reporters at the briefing today.
This is a report that we have seen, but it's not a report that I can comment on. Talking publicly about possible cases of detained Americans can complicate our efforts to try to secure their freedom.
Supposedly this guy has said, yes, I am a spy. He's admitted everything, taking pictures of secret military areas, and says that we might as well cooperate with North Korea now because they have an H-bomb. It just seems like he's been tortured a lot.
Well, right. Doesn't that seem like something that the North Koreans would like, the perfect thing to say?
Here, but, talk to CNN.
And by the way, Kim Jong-un's haircut is awesome.
Oh, does he have a new one? Is it very Elvis? I got to look that up.
Well, I mean, that's what this guy's going to say. Oh. If he's already been forced to say everything else.
Oh, he's very good looking,
yes,
for sure.
Yes. And by the way, I played golf with Kim Jong-un. He had 16 holes in one.
Mm-hmm. He says he's been in a hard labor camp and that he wasn't used to hard labor, but
who is?
He's getting used to it because he has to.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens here. It's an American who's over there, and we don't know. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on.
It is.
In a situation like this. You just want the United States, you want to make sure that the intelligence apparatus of the United States does the right thing by its own people. That's the most important thing.
So probably a good move by the White House to not talk.
Checking in at...
Number 4.
The Trumpster got a taste of his own taunts today.
Uh-oh.
When a prankster attending an event in New Hampshire heckled him...
90% tax, everybody. Does anybody mind paying 90% tax?
Boring.
So, very important. It's very important. Get him out of here. Get out of here. Go ahead. Nothing funny about this. Anyone wants jokes. There's nothing funny about this. This is so serious. Out. Get out of here.
At least he didn't send him out without his coat, like the last guy.
Loves to kick people out who disagree with him. That's the spirit of America right there. I mean, right. I'm not a big fan of hecklers, but
no.
And I get it. These are political events, but his handling of this is just now. And then the crowd that just, you know, goes with him too.
Uh-huh.
Kick him while they're down.
Right. No coat. Send him out there.
Not exactly. He just does not feel, it just doesn't feel like that's what an American president does.
It's not presidential, is what you're saying?
I'm just saying that's what it doesn't feel. But he is saying, but the guy's saying what Trump says about it, boring, I'm bored.
Giving him a taste of his own medicine, I suppose. He didn't like that.
Here's a Donald, speaking of presidential moments, here he is talking about Kim Jong-un.
If you look at North Korea, this guy, he's like a maniac, okay? And you got to give him credit. How many young guys, he was like 26 or 25 when his father died, take over these tough generals, and all of a sudden, you know, it's pretty amazing when you think of it. How does he do that? Even though it is a culture and it's a cultural thing, he goes in, he takes over, and he's the boss. It's incredible. He wiped out the uncle. He wiped out this one, that one. I mean, this guy doesn't play games.
Incredible. How about dangerous? How about
what?
Scary. It's almost like he's applauding him, right? Is that what he's doing there?
He likes it. I think Trump envisions himself as a strong man. He doesn't understand what that is. Here's a guy whose trick knee kept him out of the Vietnam conflict, right? Out of the draft.
But his health is in very good shape now.
Right,
from his doctor.
He's the healthiest man ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. The strong men are always those guys. All right. Wait, there's more.
And we can't play games with him because he really does have missiles and he really does have nukes. And here's what we do. We tell China, who we rebuilt China. They have taken so much of our money with trade. They have taken everything. They have taken our jobs, our money. They've taken our base. They've taken so much. And literally, it's one of the great thefts in the history of the world, what they've done to our country, because we've had people that don't have any idea.
He gave him credit for consolidating power by murdering his rival relatives. And remember, didn't he give Russian President Vladimir Putin, called him a highly respected man?
Yeah. Too. Well, because he said something nice about it.
Because he was very
nice.
He's
a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Wait, Kim Jong-un should weigh in on this. This would be the greatest thing. We just put a press report out that says Kim Jong-un thinks that you should be president of the United States. He would be willing to negotiate with you and see how Trump runs with that.
He would definitely run with it.
I think he's a genius. I played golf with him once at Mar-a-Lago. Oh, God. Oh,
but you
God.
Wonder if he really does admire them. Or it's just his way of appreciating people of power or something bizarre about that.
It's bizarre.
Bizarre.
I mean, even if you don't want to, as a potential world leader, which he is. I mean, he's
up there. He's very close.
He's not going to win in Iowa, it does not appear, but he is going to win right now. If it were held today, he'd be winning New Hampshire. And that's things could change too. You come out of Iowa, if he doesn't win in Iowa, you know, you might see some movement. There's
some momentum changes.
Right. Then you've got 3 weeks essentially left until Iowa, 4 weeks till New Hampshire. So a lot can happen. But no matter what he says, I mean, he could call Kim Jong-un one of the great pacifistic leaders of our time are, or any other generation, and his numbers would go up.
Wait, this just in, the new poll shows him up 2 points in Iowa. Donald Trump leads Ted Cruz by 2 percentage points in this new poll for Iowa.
Wow.
31% to
29. So he's trending back that way. Well, we'll see what happens. There's a lot. Whose poll is that?
This is I never know how to pronounce this.
Quinnipiac.
That, the very
geniuses.
No, but they're
total
respectful.
Geniuses. Oh, sure.
Respectable.
Yeah.
Pollsters, and you know, it's within the margin of error, but certainly no strong lead by Cruz. Trump is 2 points ahead.
All right.
So.
There you go, President Trump.
And
I'm telling
go
you.
Up again.
We were talking with Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth a couple hours ago about this. You know for sure the Republicans, there's so many Republicans would be sitting tomorrow at the Capitol watching the State of the Union speech in the House of Representatives, and they're going to be thinking, oh my God, next year, please don't let it be Trump. Please don't let it be Trump. Please don't let it be Trump. The majority of the room is going to be thinking that.
Do you think the president will reference Trump in any way, even?
No. I think the president's going to do a total, complete victory lap. How you like me now? It should be the title of the speech for tomorrow. And even though he's not hand-holding the microphone, he may bring out a microphone and just drop it and walk off the stage.
He might just do that. There'll be some moments for sure when he'll feel like doing that.
You know, I'd like to say this to all my critics in the House and in the Senate. Eat me.
Oh, he won't say that.
I think that's kind of what I see him saying.
But he will take shots at Congress, it seems. I mean, like,
oh,
that's,
for sure.
He's going to be really sort
no
of
question.
Jabbing him. And
no question.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Yes, it will be for sure.
Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man. To be a different man, thou may change me, but I can't twist.
More on David Bowie coming up in the top 5-5. We're up to
number 3.
The 73rd annual Golden Globe Awards were held last night. What a scam. 73 years of the greatest scam in Hollywood.
You think it's a scam?
Oh,
they're
my
so
God.
Fun to
there's
watch.
There's 57
so
members of the Hollywood Foreign
right.
Press Association.
90-something, I think. 92, I thought it was.
According to
Whatever.
Last night, it was 57. And the best part of this is that they admitted, when Denzel Washington got up
oh,
to make his speech.
No, not a proud moment. I didn't think.
he admitted that he goes that a guy from the Hollywood Foreign Press said to him, "Hey, listen, if you show up for his first, you know, his first like big breakout role, I think it might have been Philadelphia or whatever. You want to win the Golden Globe? Just show up, do the press junket, talk to everybody, and you'll win the award."
That's
how it works.
That is a scam.
Yeah. How do you think there was that movie that no one ever heard of who won a bunch of stuff last night? Or no, the TV show. It's a TV show where it's I don't even know if it runs on TV or it's just in someone's imagination, and it won two Golden Globes last night with a foreign lead. I can't remember the name of it.
We'll look it up.
Well, there's Mozart in the Jungle. Yes.
Mozart in the Jungle. Yep.
There was Mozart in the Jungle where you're like, hey,
what?
What's Mozart in the Jungle on? No one's ever heard of it. Oh, no, we won two Golden Globes. It's beautiful. It's just like Friends. You know, I mean, it's like, what are you talking about?
Well, you think that being the foreign press, they always want to, you know, make sure it's not all overrepresented by Americans. So they spread it around a little bit, but it's a little strange. A little strange the way it happens.
Well, anyway, it was held last night. And backstage, Jon Hamm, who won for, of course, Mad Men in his last season. It's the last season of the show. Said that he was really surprised.
I was not expecting to win, really, ever. It's always, I meant what I said when I was up there. It's an incredible honor to be included with the people on my list this year and every year, it seems, because they're so different and remarkable and inspiring in what they do.
Were you remarked? Because even he said later, I was surprised I got the award. I really thought this was the up-and-comers year or something like that. The remarkable number of people who said, I just didn't expect this at all.
Well, they always say that there. And you're supposed to say that. Yeah, not supposed to go, I saw that.
But how about say nothing? Because you really have a 1 in 5 chance no matter what. I mean, you're 1 of 5 people for the most part in these categories. And what do you mean? You have a very good chance of getting it just by being there.
I mean, imagine the person who gets up and goes, yep. That's me.
Well, there were no shortage of egos last night either, if that's what you're pointing to, I felt. But I'm totally shocked.
Taraji P. Henson. Get off my train!
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That was a moment, wasn't it?
Here was a very nice moment, though. Sylvester Stallone said that he did not remember getting a standing ovation after his name was called for Outstanding Supporting Actor in his work in Creed. This is backstage again.
Just the mere fact that these incredible people were applauding. It makes me realize that, you know, in life, it's really never over till it's over. And it indicates that people should never give up trying. So I think it was a very, very positive message for everybody.
He had a nice speech. I really enjoyed his speech.
That was a great moment for everybody.
Were rooting for him.
Absolutely.
Like, yes.
Yeah. And then there's guys, you know, that go every year and just never win. They've ticked off the Hollywood Foreign Press. They get nominated, and they just sit there.
But they look good sitting there, most of them.
Yeah. All right. This is a good one. I think you're going to enjoy this one. Checking in at
number 2.
I played this on the TV this morning, too. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
This is fantastic. There's an apartment complex fire in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. Nobody, thank God, hurt in this. And it would not make headlines, normally, except for this woman who is vying for the Sweet Brown Award of 2017 for viral video-ness and talking to a news operation about a fire breaking out in her apartment complex.
My friend came to the door. She said, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong is popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my 3 kids and we bounced out. We ain't going to be in no fire. Not today.
Sudden internet fame just with that.
Not today.
And everybody's okay, right? So
about
this?
Yes, we can laugh about it. She's very animated. And when you see it, if you look for it on the internets, you will see that she moves her head back and forth, too. Like
it's very animated.
Like she's doing both characters when she's having the conversation. One way she's looking to her left, then she turns and looks to her right, looks to her left, looks to her right. Really very entertaining.
We bounced out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost like a bit. You know, you'd think it's
like she was planted there or something.
Yes.
There's no way she lived there. She planned that.
Right. It was something.
Well, I'm happy she's safe and her three kids, too.
Yes, that's the most important thing.
Very different interview.
Yes, and very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Giving us all laugh today. Mm-hmm. And finally,
number one.
Now Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand.
Pop star, songwriter, record producer, multi-instrumentalist, actor, artist. Legend. David Bowie is dead at the age of 69. In a career spanning more than four decades, Bowie amassed a huge catalog of music, his unrelenting evolution keeping him relevant to new generations of fans. In an interview with Jeremy Paxman, he talked about the origin of one of his most famous characters, the aforementioned Ziggy Stardust.
It came about, I think, more than anything else, that when I was a teenager, I had it in my mind that I would be a creator of musicals. I sincerely wanted to write musicals. And I was not a natural performer. I didn't feel at ease on stage, ever. And I had created this one character, Ziggy Stardust, and things sort of led. I liked the idea, and I felt really comfortable going on stage as somebody else. And it seemed a rational decision to keep on doing that. And so I got quite besotted with the idea of just creating character after character.
It's amazing. There are people now making a pilgrimage to his, hometown in Brixton, and they have this huge mural up of David Bowie where people are lighting candles and leaving mementos. He had such an impact.
And as we said earlier, it's very hard to understand what he was doing at any given moment, but he did. Right, and so you had to observe him and then figure out what did I just see there?
And then you enjoyed it somehow, but it was always different.
It's true. All right, here he is talking about the music industry.
I wanted to be a musician because it seemed rebellious, it seemed subversive. It felt like one could affect change to a form. It was very hard to hear music when I was younger, you know. When I was really young, you had to tune into AFN radio to hear the American records. There was no MTV, and it wasn't sort of wall-to-wall blanket music. And so therefore it had a kind of a call to arms kind of feeling to it. This is the thing that will change things. Now it's a career opportunity.
What's interesting about him, though, is that the Space Oddity, which was his first hit from a record in the late 1960s, and it was actually released just a couple days before Apollo 11 landed on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of radio stations refused to play it until after there was a safe return of Apollo 11, because they didn't want this to be, turn into a publicity stunt gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of record distributors also felt the same way. But then it wasn't really until the early 1980s and after MTV had started and Let's Dance and all of that, he wasn't just a critical darling, but a completely successful darling, because he was such a visual act.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
it was fascinating to watch.
So few places that you could see him, and seeing him was really just as important as hearing him.
This is ground control to Major Tom.
David Bowie was 69.
The top five at five.